Turning your Bible to Genesis. Genesis, if you're familiar with your Bible, the first book in the Bible. Yeah. After the book of Concordance. Genesis chapter number 1, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 5. Genesis 1. Stand with me, please. I'll begin at verse number 3. If you'll join me in verse number 4, and we'll finish in verse number 5. Genesis 3 says, 1-3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I was reminded as I went outside and I saw the rain, how last week You opened the windows of heaven. Lord, You poured Your blessing out on us. Lord, You met with us last week. But Lord, You're not just relegated to meeting with us during a conference. You want to meet with us every single day. You want to meet with us in every service. Lord, we ask that You'd please do it. We want to be willing to listen to You, to be prepared to receive whatever You have for us tonight. Meet with us, please. In Your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He does love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee.
Blessing. That's wonderful. Thank you for the good song tonight. I thought Jana was going to start off if she really sang what she'd like to sing. I am so glad that there's no school tomorrow. I am so glad that there's no school tomorrow. And Faith would have done the same than everybody else, right? I am so glad there is no school tomorrow. So, and on it goes. You know, I've always said that singers get a break over preachers. You know, if you put four preachers up here to preach four singers is fine. Four preachers, people would croak. The only thing is you could never get four preachers to be in harmony with each other. So, especially if they're independent Baptists, it wouldn't work. So, Marty and Heather, good to see you all tonight. Forgot to recognize you. Always glad to see you down here. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you. We've been here long enough now. God's helped us and blessed, and we're starting to get young people placed different places. And by the way, if you didn't hear, Matt and Heather pain are expecting a baby over in Dwight, so we're thrilled for them, and so as well as Ben and Andrea. So God's good to always see the young people come back to home. It's a blessing, and appreciate you tonight and your wife and your child. That's a wonderful thing. All right, I want to preach on starting your day right tonight. This I don't think this is going to be lengthy, which I know you're glad of. And can I tell you, I am too. And I'm not going to put a tie on tomorrow, Lord willing. And let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much. Help us tonight to be a help and encouragement to people in the church, and bless us. Thank you that you do love us. What a great song about your love. We are touched by the fact that you love us. And the only way we can love you is that because you first loved us. Help us to love you more. Help me tonight, please, in Jesus' name, and amen. How does your day begin? Because I ask that question because getting off on the right foot at the beginning of the day is very important. Now, we all remember and fully understand what the Bible says about the ending of a thing being better than the beginning there in the book of Ecclesiastes. But don't minimize the start. The start is important as well. The start of something, the beginning of something. Getting off to a good start is extremely helpful. You watch those runners that run there, especially those that are in the blocks there. And man, they're all about getting off to a good start because it's so helpful for beginning right. Now, the problem, when I ask you, how does your day begin? The problem for many people is picking the wrong time to get started. The wrong time to get started. So tonight, we're talking about starting your day right. Let me lay the foundation for the message and then make some practical applications. But it's going to take me a minute or two to lay the foundation beginning here in Genesis. All right. Now, in chapter 1, we have God's great act of creation as recorded here. As the chapter begins, I want you to notice that we have only darkness. Look at verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So as we begin, we have only darkness. Now, the first thing God created was light. Verse number 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It's, you know, and folks, you say, "I don't understand it." You can't divorce faith from the Word of God, okay? Christianity is a religion of faith. It is a faith thing, all right? And so God said it, and there it was. So His first act of creation is light, all right? So there was darkness, now there's light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So this light is good, and so now we're going to divide the light from the darkness, okay? So now He divides it. We have a period of darkness, and we have a period of light. And here in the book of Genesis, those are 12-hour periods. 12 hours of darkness, 12 hours of light, okay? That's what you have here. You got a division between light and darkness. All right, now, look at verse number 5. God names the periods of light and darkness. And God called the light day. So He named the light day. And the darkness He called night. So He called the dark. He named it night. He calls the light day, and He calls the darkness night. It blesses me that every time the atheist uses the term day or night, they are acknowledging God as the Creator. It just blesses me that every time a Muslim uses the word day or night, they are acknowledging God as the Creator. It's kind of hard to get rid of God, isn't it? It really is. And so He calls the light day, and He calls the darkness night. Okay, so we see that the terms light and day are synonymous, and darkness and night are synonymous. So light and day are synonymous, and darkness and night are synonymous. And verse 5 ends with, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, the evening and the morning were the first day. Now that statement is repeated 5 more times in this chapter about day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. So you got in verses 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31, you've got the words, and the evening and the morning were the second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, so on. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning were the second day, so forth. So you had this period of time called darkness. God named it night. And another synonym for that would be evening. Those are all three synonymous terms. Then we have this period of light that God named day, and the word morning is also synonymous with light and day. Now, which comes first? Well, in verse 2, we have darkness. Before it was called night, or before it was referred to as evening, darkness existed. Darkness was here first. Then God made light, and He called it day, or He called it morning. So now you have this period of darkness, night, evening. And then you have a period of light, day, morning. And God said that is day one. So the day is sundown to sundown. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening was night. The evening was darkness. That was the name God called it. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So that period of time, you got darkness, then God created light, and He called light, called darkness night, and evening, synonymous terms, and morning, light, day, light, day, morning, synonymous terms. And you have sundown. And by the way, friend, that's really the only way you can ever account for 3 days and three nights that Jesus was in the heart of the earth and buried. Sundown to sundown, being the first day. So that you've got these two periods of time, darkness, night, evening. Then you've got light, day, and morning. And that's how God reckoned time here in Genesis chapter 1. You ever wonder why the Jewish families observe the Sabbath meal on Friday evening? The Orthodox Jews, if I'm right, if memory serves me right, I think it's 6 p.m. they're observing their Sabbath dinner. Because that's the beginning of their Sabbath. Because God reckons the day from sundown to sundown. Listen to David in Psalm 55:17. This is no accident. He says, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray. So he starts with the evening. Evening, that was the beginning of the day. Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray. So a day, as God reckoned it in the beginning, and God created it, was from sundown to sundown. Darkness was first, and then God created light, got this period of darkness, and He got this period of light, and He called the darkness night, and He called the light day, and it was evening, and it was morning, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That's how God reckoned time. Now, I'm not recommending that we throw out our calendar and call right now, 7:15, April 28th. I'm not recommending we do that. And I'm not recommending redo the calendar, but I am making a point here, and this is my point. Many people get off on the wrong foot because they start their day wrong. What we do from sunset to sunrise is pretty important to getting off on the right foot, because that's the beginning of our day. Does that make sense to you? So what we do from sunset to sunrise is extremely important, because if the beginning of something is important, and it is, getting off on the right foot is important, and it is, getting started right is important, and it is, then we have to go back and find out here, what did God do? And God said the beginning of the day was the evening. The evening, that 12-hour period of night, darkness, evening, then that 12-hour period of light, day, morning, and you put them together, and you got the first day. And God, so I'm saying tonight that what we do from sunset to sunrise is very important for us getting off on the right foot, so that we'll have a good day when the morning comes. If the day begins at evening, at night, then I am concerned that a whole lot of people are getting off on the wrong foot, because we have unstructured evenings. Unstructured evenings. Unstructured evenings that don't help us begin the day right. I'm preaching for everybody tonight, but I am especially preaching for the young people, the kids. You know, and we live in a world, friend, with mixed up schedules now. With, you know, I believe that back in this day and for a long time through human history, people worked from daylight to dusk. So they did. Now we've got second shift. Now we've got third shifts, which make it difficult to do some of the things I'm going to suggest tonight. But for the sake of the message tonight, Let's just talk about whoever is at home. If dad and mom are home together, if dad is at home with the kids, or if mom is at home with the kids, I want to encourage you tonight to make your evening structured and profitable. Make your sunset to sunrise profitable, because it's important to help you get started on the right foot. Make it profitable for yourself. Make it profitable for your children. If the day begins at evening, then the average family begins the day in front of the television. Or at the movies. Or at the family split nine ways from go. The teenagers are hanging out at the mall or hanging out in the cars riding around. I'm not saying it's necessarily the teenagers in this church, although that may be happening. I'm not Barney Fife or a detective to go out and find out. But I'm not so naive as to believe that every teenager is safe within the confines of his mom and dad's care. I mean 18, 19, 20-year-olds as well. Okay? I'm saying, look, we're getting the... I'm not saying that the door should be shut. Everybody in bed at 6 p.m., lights out. But that's not the problem. Here's the problem. The problem is mom and dad go to bed at 9:30, 10, 10:30. Teenagers stay up by themselves, going to bed at 11:30, midnight, 12:30. Then school starts. They come into school all bleary-eyed and yawning and half awake. The problem didn't start with the day. Didn't start with the morning. The problem started with the evening. Does that make sense? What's going on in the morning is just a result of what didn't go on at night, at evening. Does that make sense to y'all? I know it does, okay? I'm not preaching to dumb people. The problem didn't start with the daylight. The problem started with the evening. The problem didn't start with sunrise. The problem started with sundown, because we got families that have a poorly planned and a poorly executed evening, which God looks at as the beginning of the day. What is that? The evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning, second day. Folks said that six times. And I think he's kind of making a point here. Now look, I am aware, longer periods of light, spring and summer, personally I enjoy that. I love this time of year. And the spring, the summer and the fall, you have longer periods of light. In the early fall, man, you can do things outdoors and be outdoors and have a cookout and maybe have a little campfire or something and be active. I understand all that. But the point I am making is this. The point I'm making is that unstructured evenings, and especially for teenagers, leaving teenagers to themselves in the evening is not conducive to starting the day right. I'm going to help you. So I got some suggestions tonight. That's the foundation of the message, and I think that's a biblical interpretation as well, as far as the day, night, morning, night, and so forth goes out of those verses in that chapter. Let me now make a few practical suggestions about how to get your day started. Number one, do everything possible to eat an evening meal together. Do everything possible to eat an evening meal together. Now look, I understand. Dad's got some dads working at night, and that's impossible. You can't be there. But whoever, let's go back to what I said earlier. For the sake of this message, whoever is at home. If mom and dad are home, that's great. If dad is home alone with the kids, if mom is home alone with the kids, whoever is at home, okay, there needs to be an effort, and I mean a good effort, folks, to eat together, coming together at a specified time to sit and to eat and to visit and to talk together. Turn the television off. And turn the cell phones off. And turn the iPads off. Turn them off. If you can't ignore your alerts, your dings and your notifications, your whistles and your bells, then turn it on silent. We're getting together for meals and nobody's even at the same table. We're all interrupted. There's no continuity. There's no blending of minds. There's no blending of hearts. There's no blending of conversation, because this person's got a conversation going on with somebody who lives 30 miles away or 300 miles away, or somebody's glued to the television set. I don't know how you hit your mouth. Honestly, it's insanity. As I said this week sometime after one of the messages, we talk about the good old days and we want the product from the good old days. We don't want the recipe. Families turned everything off. They got together and they had a meal together. An uninterrupted time given to each other around the table. There's a reason why God called it a table. We had the Lord's table last week, and we had a sweet time around the table last week. Bye. Don't sit there in silence. Don't sit there and just everybody eat their food, nobody talk. Read a chapter of the Bible, read from a good book. Jumpstart a conversation from a Bible verse. Find out what goes on, you know, what's going on in kids' lives. Get in the habit of doing it while the kids are young. All you young families right now that have these little bitty children at your home, and get them used to sitting at the table. Get them used to talking, asking them direct questions that demand an answer. Get them in the habit of knowing that when we come to the supper table, it is supper. It's supper time. It's time for the family to be together and to talk. Do it while they're young. Fellowship, talk, laugh, be serious, whatever. Just do something together. Get around that table. I've used the illustration before, brother of Elaine McDonald's home pastor, Glenn Jaspers, who had all those kids. And he talked about this years ago at a ladies' meeting that was held at the church out there when I was the assistant. And he talked about being at the dinner table and things kind of getting a little boring and stiff, and everybody's kind of, you know, lost in their own thought. And he said, "Pass the butter, please." It's on a butter dish. And they passed the butter. He stood up and stuck it to the ceiling. He sat back down. He just looked up and said, "Wonder how long that'll stay up there." Got everybody's attention. Got everybody kind of laughing. Got everybody cutting up. And I don't know, do what you got to do, but get that time around the table, active, involved. You know, I remember when Ben, he reminded me the other day, he said, "Dad," he said, "you realize that it was 20 years ago that I started working at the farm." He's 31 this year. He said, "I started working at the farm every night, mucking out those cow stalls for John, feeding those calves when I was 11 years of age." That was 20 years ago. I can't believe it. I said, "My goodness, Ben, 20 years. Unbelievable. Time has flown." And, you know, we were 6 p.m. eaters because that's how I grew up. I grew up, Dad coming home from work, eating at 6 p.m. at night. So I kind of carried that over into our home, and we would eat at 6 p.m. But he needed to be at the farm at 6 p.m. And so, you know, we're either going to do one thing. We're either going to eat a meal with him gone, or we're going to start at 5:15 or 5:30. And I didn't like eating at 5:15 or 5:30. It was too early. And I liked that 6 o'clock better, but I'd rather be together as a family than just have my way. And so we moved the eating time. Do everything possible to eat the evening meal together. Dads, if you have autonomy over your work hours, if you have power over your schedule, and you can do it, schedule yourself at home for that evening meal. Do that. Now, I realize some men can't. It'll make you feel bad. Absolutely, it'll make you feel bad. We just live in a different day. But if you can have the evening meal together, get together up. That will, most people, if we took a poll, I would say six-ish is probably a time with a lot of people. And when does that day begin? When did it begin for the Jews? They observed their Sabbath. Well, you think we've got to become like, no, we don't have to become like, look, the church has not replaced Israel. Israel is not the church. Okay? But there were some pretty common sense things that God designed for His people back in the Old Testament. Wouldn't be bad for you and I to learn from. So do everything possible to eat every evening meal together. Number two, get to bed at a decent hour. I'm serious. It's a hard thing. Psalm 127:2 says, "God gives His beloved sleep." You know, we're warned about loving sleep, abusing it, being lazy. And that happens. But one of the reasons people sleep so long is in the morning is because they don't structure their evenings. Structure their evening. There's no bedtime. It's just whenever. Whenever everything winds down, the kids play until they fall asleep on the floor or the couch or the chair. Look, and I remember one time, you remember that, babe? Tom and Tim came to visit us in Iowa. We had Hannah and Ben. And Ben was in a high chair. He's a little kid, little boy. Tom and Tim came up to visit us, and they drove up on Saturday. They were there for church on Sunday. And then Monday, they spent all day Monday with us. And then they took off Monday after the evening meal. And we played together, the three of us boys and Ben and Hannah. And they weren't married then. It was just they were still single. So we went from Monday morning till Monday about 6 or 6:30. And we were all eating around the table. And finally somebody said, look at Ben. He had fallen asleep. His face was in his food and his plate. Poof. It was there. He was out. And that happened once. I'm talking about where the routine is chaos. The routine is chaos. There's no structure. It's just, whatever. Just, yeah. And whatever happened to all the young children getting ready for bed and picking up their things and putting their toys away and picking up the books off the floor and all the toys that got out, straightening this up and getting their pajamas on and their teeth brushed and a short devotion and a prayer time and goodnight hugs and goodnight kisses and I love you and tucked them in the bed. Oh, that's so pristine. Oh, that's so Victorian. That's so old school. Well, I'm going to tell you what, it sure worked better than the new school. Worked a lot better than the new school. I understand, folks, we have a diverse working schedule church here. And Brother Gillis, you're an evangelist. How in the world, man, those kids, it's tough on evangelists. This past week was tough. I understand that. But this is not ordinary. This isn't the ordinary. This was not the routine. I'm talking about in the norm. I'm talking about in the routine of life. Get some structure to your evening. And if you got little kids, they don't dictate to you when they go to bed. You dictate to them. Put them to sleep. And Dad, Mom, I will tell you what you're going to find out. That quiet downtime after the kids are in bed, that's a pretty good thing. Yeah. Very helpful thing. You go to bed together and have a good evening together. I'll tell you what happens now. There's no structure for the kids. Everybody just falls asleep when they want to and throw them off to bed. Nobody brushes their teeth. Everybody just say, well, you're being silly tonight. Call it what you want to call it. And Mom goes to bed, Dad stays up. He got nothing to do, so he gets on the computer. He's in trouble in 30 minutes. And our husband goes to bed, and wife stays up, and the husband tosses back and forth into bed in bitterness because his wife's not there. We don't start the day right. Anyway, I got to get started right tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 a.m. Well, your day starts now. Starts in the evening. The evening and the morning were the first day. Look, talk, you put the kids in bed, and then, man, you can have, there's a couple here I know in the church, they get those little kids to bed, and then they have coffee, and they talk, and they sit, and they fellowship together, and whether you drink coffee or Coke or heaven forbid, water, whatever you drink, the opportunity to sit and visit, it's a good time to discuss the children, how they are doing, share your heart, and then, God forbid, go to sleep in a decent hour. Somehow we've developed this idea that macho is needing only 3.5-4 hours of sleep a night. You kind of gauge how tough you are. Well, I don't need 4. Well, I don't need 3. Well, I'm looking for the guy that don't need any. Huh? Some kind of a man. He's going to judge your man. Yeah, I remember we were at a pastor's meeting one time, and we were berated for working less than 90 hours a week. You guys, why your church not growing? Nobody, you're not working 90 hours a week. And work 90, I got to think about that. 90 hours a week, that's 6 15-hour days. That's 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you know what? Sometimes, you have to work long days. Some of you men don't put in 8-hour days. You put in 12-hour days. I know you do. But usually have Saturday off, but to be made to feel like you are lazy or you're a sluggard if you work less than 15-hour days? 90 hours a week? Well, that man ended up in trouble and is gone from the ministry today. I will submit something to you. It'd been a lot better for him to go home and be with his wife. This is nuts. Staying up till 11:30, midnight, and then sleeping, trying to sleep for 4 hours or 5 hours, and getting off to work and having to fight to stay awake as you drive. Well, boy, I had a rough morning. No, you didn't have a rough morning. You had a rough evening. Your day started wrong. Your day started wrong. There are times when long, long days are necessary. We had some this week. I left the house Tuesday, I think it was, at 7:30. I didn't get home till... When did Brother Wilkins go in the hospital? Tuesday night? Yes. I didn't get home till about 12:45. I didn't go home. I was out from 7:30 in the morning till 12:30, 12:45 the next morning. But that's not the norm. I'm talking about the norm here. I'm talking about the routine. Get your kids to bed at a decent time. Teenagers should have a lights out hour. And as they grow older and have earned some trust, yes, you could, but to leave them, for you to go upstairs or wherever your bedroom off to some part of the house and leave your teenagers up, well, I trust them. Been a lot of broken-hearted parents who thought they trusted their teenagers. There needs to be a lights-out hour for teenagers. It's not whenever. And parents get some sleep. If the kids and the teenagers and parents would go to bed at a decent hour, you get your day started good. Get your day started good. And you fellows that do have to get up at the crack of dawn, and be at work, don't you ever let anybody intimidate you if you go to bed at 8 o'clock. Now, I don't have evidence. I don't have any. Maybe some of you folks have researched this stuff. But I would just about guess, just from common sense, that in the early days of this country when there was no electricity, some of you are old enough. You remember when 5 or 6 at night, everything stopped. I remember that. There was no gas station open. There was no restaurant open. There was no mall open. There was no McDonald's open. It was done at 6 o'clock at night. And that was a good thing. Now, we don't have that. Try to get to bed. Get to bed at a decent hour. Okay? Do everything possible to eat every evening meal together. Get to bed at a decent hour. Number three, I'm done. Spend the evening on holy ground. If you want to have a holy ground day, start it right. Now, I've been on those messages on holy ground. Spend the evening on holy ground. Television? You better make sure it's something holy. And that's going to be hard to do. Computer, you better make sure it's holy. Did you know I read where they say, the scientific research, where glowing lights from the screens of TVs or computer monitors decreases the production of melatonin, the hormone responsible for making us fall asleep? And scientists, they suggested that there be a full 1 hour before you go to bed, of no television or computer monitor screen on. 1 full hour. Now, don't answer out loud. What's the last thing you do before you go to bed? I'll tell you. Click. Start your day wrong. You sit around, watch filth, listen to filth, evil stuff. Spend your evening on holy ground. Well, what should I do? Let me give you a few suggestions since you asked. That's a blessing. One thing I would suggest is do the dishes. Isn't that a novel idea? Do the dishes. You start your day right. Do the dishes. Dishes, pie. Yeah. Stuff piled up everywhere in the kitchen. Looks like a rat's nest. Food caked on those things. Do the dishes. I don't have a dishwasher. You got kids, you got a dishwasher. You remember when you was? You probably don't remember this. We were over here on Dover Turn. Some of y'all remember when we first lived over in town over here. We rented a house for a year. Hannah, Ben, Abby, Luke. Leah was in the oven. Amen. Cherith, I don't know where she was. So little guy here, man, he's 9 months when we moved here. We lived there for about 10 months, and now he's a year old. And Joyce is expecting Leah, and she had a horrible time and was nauseated morning to night. And we'd eat, and she said, I got to lay down. Sometimes she wasn't able to eat with us. The smell of food made her sick. You ladies been there. She'd lay on the couch, and man, we'd get done. We'd line them up. I don't think we had a dishwasher there. We didn't have a dishwasher. How can you, you can live without a dishwasher, okay? And man, Hannah and Ben cleaned the day, and you don't remember, maybe you'd stand on a little chair in front of me, and we'd have the soap and the dishes here, put them in. I'd be washing dishes. You'd be in there with your hands, man, just doing this and everything. You know what I mean? Just having a time. Then somebody rinsed them, and somebody dried them, and somebody put them away. And, you know, that way when you wake up, you don't walk into. Well, I know the television show is so much more important. Do the dishes. Pick up the house. In the evening, pick up the house. Kids have played all day. Everybody just falls asleep. Unstructured, just wherever, whenever. Chaos. You wake up in the morning. You come down. You didn't start your day right. Not only did you get less sleep, and last thing you watched was some television show you shouldn't have watched. You come down, you got junk everywhere. And it's just like, no wonder there's no victory. Take the garbage out. Play a game. Have family altar. Sing a couple songs. It's daylight, go out and throw the ball. Plant a garden together. Plant some flowers. Just in the daylight, at night, in the evening when it's still light. And you know what? You kind of get your... And in the morning, there is a neatness and a crispness when you wake up, because you started your day on holy ground. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't mean to be ugly, but God is interested in clean. And that not only includes our bodies, that includes our houses. In the morning, there's neatness, there's crispness. Start your day on holy ground by spending an evening on holy ground. Spend the last 30 or 45 minutes reading the book, reading your Bible, put some beautiful classical or other panpipe or some kind of peaceful instrumental music on some kind of CD player, TV's off, computer's off, kids are in bed, house is picked up, winding down. You started your day on holy ground. You started your day on holy ground. A few weeks ago, I flew from Midway to Memphis. And it was on a Thursday. And that is always, that always has me on edge. My brother that travels, he asked me in Greenville at his daughter's wedding. He said, are you... I forget how he put it. He said, do you travel easy or do you travel anxious? He said, what he meant was some guys, just like you said, Doyce, this week, some of those speakers, they wanted to get there just a few minutes before the flight left. And some of those guys wanted to get there 3 hours early. I'm a 3 hours early guy. You know, you can't get me there too early. And, you know, I got to pack, have everything ready, drive to the college, teach the classes. I got to get out of the college. I can't get bogged down by anybody. I got to get to Midway, and I got to park my truck in the garage and get my stuff and exchange some stuff into that. I'm carry on only. I have to check a bag, and I got to watch my time. And I got into the airport. I got on the shuttle bus and got to the airport. Walked into the airport, and you know how you feel sometimes. Something's just not right. And my suit coat was in the truck. And I only had one suit. I didn't have my suit coat. And the man had already told me that this is a dress-up conference. Suit and tie. Oh. So I ran back out, got in the shuttle bus. I told the woman, I said, how long does it take you to get to that garage and back? She said, 7 minutes. I said, let's roll. She pulled out. And a dear black lady. And I said, look, I left my suit coat in my truck. Now, don't leave me. I'm going to run and get it. My truck is parked at this end of the garage on the second level. I'm going to get it. I'll be back lickety-split. Don't leave me. Okay. So, man, up to the garage, got my suit coat, came right back down. And I was on the bus, and several people had gotten on the bus, and we're waiting. I'm thinking, come on, lady, come on. And I could see her. She's looking. She said, where's that man? I said, I'm here. I've been here. She didn't leave. So back to the airport now for the second time, and then it's through security and all those precious TSA people that are just so helpful. So happy to see you. Finally get to the gate. It's like, you know how airports are. So I'm walking around looking for a seat. Here is this Hispanic man, but not obviously not from Mexico. He's got an Hispanic look, but it's more European Hispanic. He's playing an acoustical guitar. And he's not just strumming chords. I mean, he is. He's playing classical acoustical guitar music. He's oblivious. It's like he's on the stage. I sat down right next to him. It was beautiful. In that waiting area, he never quit playing. He played, and he played, and he played, and he played, and he played for an hour nonstop from one song to the next. I'm sitting there, I'm just soaking. My whole body just decompressed. Really, but it would have been nice. It would have been a good thing. But you know, that was the calmest way here. Finally, a guy came around and he said, are you a professional guitarist? He said, yes. Where are you from? I'm from Spain. And he just kept playing. They finally said, okay, folks, A1 through 30, line up in your positions, ready to board the plane. And I shook his hand and said, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. You've been a blessing. There's something about that classical music. I don't like that stuff. You don't have to be classical. But if you want to get your day started right, you're going to have to get everything shut down, get calm, so that when you go to bed, you go to sleep. Might not even have to have a pill. And some folks have a bad morning, but the morning's bad. That's not the start of the day, it's the evening. Start the evening. Start your day right by getting your evening in order, getting it structured, getting it organized. You get off to a good start in your day by having a good evening. Because God said six times, the evening and the morning. All right, let's stand it. Bless you. Go home. Heavenly Father, thank you today for all you've done. Thank you for your book. Thank you for all the practical things you teach us. Help our families tonight. Help our couples. Help our marriages. Help our young people. Now, there might be somebody who needs to go home and get some things straightened out and have a good day by starting the day right every evening. Make our sunrise to sunset. Sunset to sunrise times profitable, please. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, come down here, see Brother Mick in the hall. Say, Brother Hall, I need to get saved. You need to get baptized, you come. If you want to come pray tonight, if God spoke to your heart something specific, as the ladies play the invitation hymn, you come as they play now.